Tapes and Commentaries. This is episode 22. I'm Tyler Baker, and with me as always is a good old nasty Nate Kennedy.
Hello.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, I'm sitting here
still cleaned out.
Yeah, I'm fiddling with all the windows, getting everything in its proper place. But yes, the precast shit never fails. I feel like I'm just set on a clock now, even during the week.
Me too.
I wake up, and yeah, around this time, it's just like, you know what? It's time to take a dump. So at least I'm regular, right? That's
exactly
a good thing. Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, you might have to start taking some, you know, some notification from Jamie Lee Curtis and start eating, you know, Activia and shit like that.
Yeah, eating more of the yogurts and shit. What's the I can't think of the name of it. The supplements you can take. Fuck.
Oh, like a colon blow? Like Metamucil?
Yeah, there you go, Metamucil. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
I always associated that with like old people when I was a kid, because they would always advertise with like senior citizens, like they're walking and they're happy because they've taken shits. And of course, as a kid, I'm like, what does this do? Like, hey, I have no idea what this is for.
Younger people struggle with taking dumps too. It's not just old people.
Yeah, like, I don't know why.
I don't understand the demographic there. It's like, well, old people have a hard time taking a shit.
Yeah. Or they can't control it. Well, neither can kids. You know, and sometimes as adults, you're like, oh my God, like you have, you know, I'm going to be like Chris Tucker and just run down someone's, you know, between two houses and find a nice bush and just squat down and hope that, you know, what's his name? Ezale doesn't walk in. Smokey! Walk in asking if you're taking a shit or something like that, you know?
Man, what a great start to the show.
I know we're just talking about shit. But you know what? We're two guys. I'm assuming that mostly guys listen to this. If you are a woman, listen to this. Please let us know. We'd like to know that we have, you know, we're expanding to, you know, the opposite sex as well, or whatever. But I'm assuming most of our audience has got to be guys. You know,
I would say the vast majority, but girls poop too. I live with one. She poops.
I've always had a hard time imagining that women do what guys do in the bathroom. Like, can you imagine any woman doing what Jeff Daniels did in Dumb and Dumber? I can't.
Well, I've never done that. I never audibly just made noises while I was taking a shit. I'm not like that. I'm not like that grunty guy in the movie theater that one time.
I mean, you do hear like guys, you know, just you know.
In that moment, you can't tell if it's just the sweet relief of passing or if they're really just struggling and it's they're straining, which I do not recommend doing that. I've never been a strainer.
That's how you get hemorrhoids.
Exactly. Well, my dad, prime example. He just like, yep, strain too hard and he'd have hemorrhoids. I'm like, why you do that? You just sit there. If it's ready to go, it's ready to go. If it's not, just get up and wait a while.
It's something we can all relate to. This is in no way like, you know, has nothing to do with the great show we're going to be doing today anyway. This is just kind of one of those random guy conversations that I'm sure most guys have or on occasion, you know, you can at least relate to what we're talking about.
I feel like everybody has these conversations at some point.
Yeah. But I only have them with, you know, like a choice group of guys. Like, it's not something I just talk about with just anybody like I work with or something. Like, it's just like with you or Matt and Jordan, that would be like a discussion.
When it comes to poop stuff, Tyler doesn't, he doesn't even fart in front of people now.
No, I don't. You know, Nathan doesn't hesitate. Like, oh man, too much Zaxby's.
You gotta get it out, man.
I know that, but that's why I find a nice place off to where the doesn't have a lot of bass and echo factors going on.
Well, all right, let's talk about the times that I think everyone can relate to this as well. When you're around a new guy or girl that you're kind of seeing, and you're out on a date, and you don't want to let one rip in front of her, so you just keep holding them back and holding them back and holding them back, and then it just like bubbles up, and like you just get like really crampy, and then you get to the car, and like you said, you just grip the seat and
grab the steering wheel. It's this massive tear. It's like the Red Sea spreading in your car seat because of just this earthquake going on in your car seat. And then you're like, oh, God. And then you roll down the window. It's like you're putting on this. It's like you're one of those, like.
But then someone just ran over a skunk. So then that smell's coming in there, too. And you just.
And then you start dry heaving right there on the spot. And you're like, God, man, can I just enjoy this good day left, you know? But yeah, that's the case.
Brave Star.
Yeah.
All right,
just
so
just have that confidence, like Brave Star in 30-30, have that you're going to get through this, you're going to enjoy this, and then when the time is calm, you can just, you know, belt your asshole back to the back row. Let it go. Let everyone know, as long as the girl's gone.
I bet you can't guess what Emily's favorite character in this show is.
I'm going to say Scuzz.
No. 30-30, man. Come on.
Oh, I was just kind of like just being playful. Wow, so she was intrigued by 30-30.
Yeah, she thought it was really awesome.
He's a badass character. Like, I think that he's...
It's weird that they never produced a figure in that form, just strictly...
Well, I mean, the toy, it stands upright and he holds his hand. It looks...
Yeah, but
it just looks odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I still feel like they should have released one that was more like that could stand right next to Brave Star holding his rifle and not just a horse that you just stand upright. Yeah, it's if I still have yet to see him in person. If I came across a 30-30, damn right I'd buy him. But I really wish that would be something they would update and bring back kind of in a classic style.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that they sort of haven't done that yet. Honestly, you think it might just be because the demand probably isn't there for such a series? Because I feel like it would be, because it's sort of the successor to He-Man. Like it came between that and New Adventures, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, there was discussions of trying to do a crossover, and there is a link between the two shows. Based on the Christmas special, where they mention a Carrion water crystal, and of course Carrion is the high dollar commodity in the Brave Star show, so there is a connection. But it's a shame that they never did do it. Maybe if Brave Star had been more successful, and you know they may have, and He-Man was still going strong, I'd assume that they probably would have done like a big crossover and having He-Man come to New Texas looking for a carry him or something like that. Skeletor follows him and teams up with Tex-Hex, and they have a big fight at Fort Carrion or something like that, you know. But
it ran from September 14th, 1987 to February 24th, produced 65 episodes. I'm not entirely sure if all of those made it to air, but have any other memories, like the toy line? Do you remember seeing that anywhere in the stores? Did you ever own any of the figures? I think you kind of briefly touched on that last week in regards to who you had. This was a show for me that I remember the name, I remember the aesthetic and the look, but it just episodes, none stuck out to me, and even in the toy stores, do not remember seeing them on the shelf.
I don't recall ever seeing I never saw the cartoon at all as a kid. Like it did not play in this area. I think when I was pretty well aware of what was on TV as a child, you know, around 4 or 5, I did not catch Brave Star. If it was, I clearly missed it. And I didn't actually see the cartoon until I think, Nathan can remember this, when Big Lots moved from the Hills,
yeah,
like Plaza, and it moved over to North Franklin.
Yeah.
Across from where the rec center's at.
Yeah.
They had a VHS tape for $5 of one episode of Brave Star. That was the first time I'd ever come across the cartoon. And I picked that up. I could not spend that $5 fast enough. So that was the first I'm actually seeing the cartoon, the opening sequence, everything, because that was before the internet and everything. So, and I only had the Brave Star figure. My granny got it for me. I thought it was a tremendous action figure. I was completely blown away by the packaging, the figure itself, and then seeing the other figures like Tex-Hex and Sandstorm were the only two that stuck out to me as a kid. And I remember Justin Twine had Tex-Hex. That was the only time I saw Tex-Hex as a child. And then I saw Sandstorm at Family Dollar down here where the ABC store is at right now. It's the same place where I saw the slime pit for the first and only time as a kid, too. It may have been at the same time. But I remember seeing Sandstorm on the top or on the shelf in his box art and everything. It was just, oh, my God, like, who is that guy? And of course, I couldn't get him. I can't remember if I was with my granny or whatever, but I did not get Sandstorm. I still don't own him to this day, damn it. But it's a toy line I definitely would love to collect more of. It's not cheap.
Oh yeah, I was looking at the prices and like
if you want them, I mean, because I almost feel like if you're going to get them, Tex-Ex and Bravestar have to have their hat. Bravestar's got to have his chest gear and at least one gun. I don't care if you don't have all, but just at least the rifle or the blaster. And Tex-Ex has got to have one gun with him and his hat. I feel like to have anything less is just
uncivilized.
Exactly. Sandstorm only comes, I think, with one weapon. Handlebar comes with like a disc and throw 30-30 comes with his gun. They're not ridiculously expensive, but it's hard to find that balance of like, I just want Bravestar with his hat, his chest gear, and one blaster. It's hard to just find that. And someone's not like, well, I mean, buddy, I mean, come on, it was made in the 80s. You got to give me $200, incomplete or not. You're going to kiss my ass.
Yeah, I hate that.
So it still eludes me to this day. I did have a Bravestar figure for a long time, but he's missing all the stuff, and he's just kind of lost the time, unfortunately. So that, like many other great 80s toy lines, I have a great affinity for them. I love them. I want to collect them, but as we all know, we can't buy everything, and it's kind of worry about spending money at times, but I still hope to one day have a Bravestar, a Tex-Ex, and a Sandstorm at least. But I was really fascinated when I found out that there was a playset, the Fort Carrion playset, and would wonder what it looked like because I didn't know what it looked like for years and years, and I think till probably the internet, and I would actually see what the box art looked like and just thought, oh my God, like the figures were so big. How big is this playset?
Yeah.
And it just looks so nice. And the rest of the figures, like Thunderstick, which we see in this episode, if you see the figure of Thunderstick, he looks like a very menacing kind of Boba Fett character, and they unfortunately don't portray him like that in the cartoon, at least based on the voice characterization. But it's a great, great toy line. It's a shame that it didn't go any further in terms of like cartoons and more toys. But it's an A-plus property, and I don't know if Mattel still owns the rights to it. And if they do, I'm sure they're just like, oh, well, it didn't make any money for us in the 80s. Why the hell should we bring it back? You know, unless we could do more variants. You know, so.
That was a weird audio glitch just now.
It's always on my end. Maybe it's Mattel hacking us here.
Yeah.
But
Bravestar, damn it.
Yeah, damn it. We own it. But I'd love to see Bravestar redone by the Four Horsemen and give us, you know, the main roster of characters, because it didn't get too big, so I feel like it can be done within reason. You know, give us Tex-Ex's gang, Bravestar's buddies, and that's it. You know, I think it'd be awesome to have that. It's oddly enough, though, anytime Bravestar is brought up, I always see it brought up in the positive light. Like nobody's ever like dismissive of it or smacks the toys or says the cartoon's lame.
Well, getting into one thing that I feel like people would just take issue with. Bravestar is Native American, and he summons spirits, puma, bear, etc. And I feel like someone now would just peek at this and be like, that's really racist and this offends me. I'm just like, just stop. It's a cartoon. If anything, I don't know. What?
Well, I tell you what, better yet, how about we just make Bravestar a blonde-haired tan guy from small town middle America, and have him summon the strengths of puma, wolf, hawk, and bear. And he's trained by like the surfer, the Indian surfer from Saved by the Bell or something like that. You know, it's like, stop pretending as if like, you know, these things and these cultures that may not be celebrated as much. Plus, not to mention, there's nothing. Like, honestly, if you had not seen, and I didn't know this till I got got a little older, that Bravestar was Native American, because the toy doesn't look like that.
Yeah, that's very strange, I think.
And neither does the cartoon. Like, unless you actually saw, like, references to what you see in the movie, Brave Star is a young boy raised, and Shaman trains him. Unless you saw that or see episodes that reference that, you would never know that he's Native American. He just looks like a real tan guy with black hair and talks like, you know, he doesn't talk like Tonto or anything, you know. Yeah. But I think it's just cool that he is Native American, though.
No, I think it is as well. And yeah, this will be a topic that I think we'll touch on more on Fans of Power on Sunday, because you know, there's some things that I think just need to be said. Well, Joe thinks needs to be said, and I agree with him. It's stuff that just a lot of people need to think about, and just I feel like some people aren't doing that, not on the fans end of things, but kind of creative aspects. Anyway, let's not stray too far deep into that hole. Tyler, the episode that you picked today, The Day the Town Was Taken, why'd you pick this episode?
I picked it because when we did it, like Nathan, and I originally thought, and I had forgotten, because I had forgotten the movie is not included on this set. The movie is its own separate DVD, and it's out of print. So if you want it, you got to go on Amazon and pay about $30 for it. Or you can go on YouTube and watch the whole thing for free.
Yeah, I think that'll probably be the route that we'll go when we revisit the show.
Yeah, because the movie's about an hour and a half. And it was released theatrically, I do believe, back in 86 or 87. And, you know, that sets up the whole world. It sets up how Tex-Ex becomes the Tex-Ex we know. It shows how Bravestar got his powers. It sets up him being chosen to go and be the sheriff for Fort Carrium, and it introduces JB, 3030. It sets up everything, and it's a very well-written movie. It's a lot of fun. It's for free on YouTube, and I just love the character Stampede, too. But I picked it because initially Nathan wanted to do the first episode, and I told him that, well, the first episode is just the main cast getting trapped in the carrying cave and had to dig their way out. There is no battle with Tex-Ex. And I felt like with Nathan coming to the show, I really wanted him to see Tex-Ex in the gang. Not that every episode has to have Tex-Ex, because it doesn't, but I just kind of felt like it needed to be like a good kind of jumping off point. And it's just fun because Tex-Ex successfully captures Fort Carrium in this in a fun, interesting way. And I just thought it was a good episode showcasing the villains. I was worried that Nathan might find Fuzz and Wazella obnoxious because, you know, they're
We'll get into that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was rewatching it for fun. I'm like, Nathan's probably not going to like this because they are really, and that it doesn't bother me so much when I'm watching it. But I think about it in terms of trying to show it to other people that they the cute, cuddly characters a bit too much. So, however, everything else, though, like I love Alan Oppenheimer's portrayal of Scuzz with his constant coughing while he's smoking cigars.
Yeah.
God, it's funny as hell, you know. And there is an episode, too, and I forget which one it is, but there's a more where Scuzz is giving a moral to the kids, saying, look, kids, I smoke cigars on the show, but I want you to know it's not a healthy or good thing to do, which I thought was, it's fun. But they continue on to allow him to smoke cigars on the show.
It's a good touch, but it's also kind of, I guess, kind of ballsy. You don't really see too many characters in cartoons just constantly smoking.
In Looney Tunes, you'd see it, and you would think nothing of it. But to see it in an action adventure show of the 80s, yeah, I mean, you didn't see characters smoke, at least not that I can recall. I mean, nobody in G.I. Joe did. Thundercats, He-Man, She-Ra. I'm trying to think of some of the others. No one in Turtles. You know, I was looking over at the shelf there. I mean, no one in the X-Men cartoon. Of course, no one in Transformers did. That's the gag, is he's just constantly coughing and choking on his own smoke all the time. Like, it clearly shows this guy needs to stop smoking, you know. But it's funny because Alan Oppenheimer just if I ever get over my
yeah, I was gonna say you're still kind of pissed about that, aren't you?
Yeah, especially when we saw him at RaleighCon, I'm like, I hate that I have such a sour first impression of the guy. You know, for him to mean so much to my childhood, and yet that guy was just so odd to me. But anyway, but just shows you know what? He does fantastic work, and I love his work as Stampede and Scuzz on this show. So, but I picked it because I thought it'd be a great introduction to get the main cast of heroes and villains all in one episode for Nathan to be introduced to.
Yeah.
So
it's
God, that was a long-winded response.
Well, it's going to be interesting to say the least as we watch it, because I do have some opinions I'm going to throw your way. Link down below to the Brave Star official YouTube page. There will be ads scattered about. If you have YouTube Premium, then you don't have to worry about it, but feel free to join along with us. And also, if you're new to the channel and enjoy conversations about taking dumps and the like, make sure you hit that subscribe button and ring that bell so you can join us and get notified when we go live, and join JSP here in the chat. JSP, thanks for joining us.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'll count us down. We will head to New Texas.
All righty.
3, 2, 1, action.
I like that a lot.
And the cattle brand here on this map, I mean, with the futuristic, like the technology underneath the map, just showing you we're combining science fiction with the Old West, which is, and God, it looks so cool. Everything about it. I mean, and I love Lou Scheimer's narration to open the show here with the theme song and everything. And very quickly establishes what kind of world you're dealing with. And the level of creativity behind like combining science fiction with the Wild West. You think anybody else was like, I just don't know that, because I think of like Cowboys and Aliens, which is a flop.
I think that it's just a really cool concept. P.S. My disc is being kind of weird, so I'm going to have to probably finagle with it and catch up to you somehow.
Okay. Well, I can.
No. Yeah. You just keep going. I'll get there.
All right. But the opening sequence, I mean, everything just lets you know immediately what this show is about. And it's just so beautifully animated. And just like with Filmation, as the years would go on, the animation gets more polished and more fine-tuned and just looks just more smooth over, just as all the shows would progress. And, you know, kind of makes you think, like, you know, what He-Man and She-Ra would look like, too. In terms of animation, had they gotten a third season, official third season, not just taking season two and spreading it over, kind of expanding, making it two seasons. But here's 30-30, looking all stern, like he doesn't approve this whole flirty stuff here. And so, please give us your thoughts on the prairie people here, which I, you know,
they are a little much.
I'm accepting of it, but yeah,
they're a little much. It's a little tough,
and that is an unfortunate with a lot of children's cartoons where they want to make the character sound cute, so that way kids will like them. But sometimes, I mean, they try so hard to really make them sound. I mean, I've heard worse. I mean, you listen to those dumbass scientists in the New Adventures of He-Man. These guys, you know, are up there on the same level as Orko and Snarf. But, yeah, it's, I get it, but I'm glad it just didn't kill it for you, which I don't
know. No, it's just they are a little much, and I'm still having trouble. I don't know what the hell's going on now with this.
Ah, damn it.
Like, the disc isn't even wanting to, like, read now.
Where are you at?
Nowhere. I had to close everything.
All right. Well, I'm just going to pause it here.
Well, I thought we were getting the commentary.
You are getting the commentary. You're getting a little more here, people. So forgive us. I stopped during the fight with the dingoes and JB and Handlebar here. So.
Yeah, I just.
We're live here, guys. We're
live, pal.
Yeah.
I loaded up fine earlier, and then I went to play it, and. Yeah, it's like not even. Hello? God. Yeah, I don't know if the disk drive has just decided to crap itself or.
That's what you get for using your computer.
Well.
Excuse me.
Guess I'm just going to have to.
Well, 22 episodes in, we haven't had any glitches like this, so it's bound to happen at some point. So.
Oh, yeah. I'll just go off the YouTube video.
There you go.
All right. Do you got like a timestamp on the on there? Like
no, because I'm using my TV here.
All right. Well, go ahead and resume, and we'll go.
All right. Well, I'm starting it right at the fight with Handlebar, JB, and the Dingoes. Like I'm looking at yeah.
All right.
You there?
Yeah.
All right. I'm playing here as the battle ensues here. The Dingoes are something I wish we'd gotten figures of. I think that'd have been really cool to have gotten a couple of just random Dingoes. I like JB. She's a beautiful looking character. I like her outfit and everything. She's just a very well-designed, strong female character for you assholes out there. Like, man, the 80s cartoons weren't the best. Anything, you know, depicting women is like strong, competent characters. Just, it's like, because no one has time to go on the internet for free and look up all this information within seconds. You know, we have no time to actually engage in the truth here. It's more about pushing our mission statements. And that mission statement is shitting on all the classic 80s cartoons because you grown man boys just can't seem to get over.
More on that on Sunday.
Yes. But back to the action here, too, as Brave Star and 3030 and Fuzz are approaching the big fight out here. And they made a vehicle of the stagecoach, too, that they're looking at right there. And here's Tex-Hex's gang here. Only one missing is Sandstorm, which is my personal favorite. There's Scuzz and his crooked cigar. Now, what were your impressions of the villains when you saw them for the first time?
I think you kind of get a bit of similarities to He-Man to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But, I mean, definitely fit in with the aesthetic. I like Tex-Hex's look. I enjoy the way his mustache is. It kind of looks like if I were able to grow one out, because I can't get the little middle piece in here to grow. So I feel like if I grew mine out, it would look just like that. If I could get it to, that'll never happen. And you know, like she kind of reminds me of Teela, obviously.
Yeah, she's more likable in terms of like she's not bitching about stuff or trying to bust Brave Star's balls all the time. Like right. She's, you know, they do have a thing which is established in the movie, but I like her a lot. Oh yes, I always loved that transformation to 3030 into his upright form. Never gets just what a badass whipping that rifle around.
Yeah, that blunderbuss just kind of fits with the character.
Damn right it does, and I love his voice. Did you recognize the voice of Cactus Head?
Actually, no.
The voice of Krang.
That sounds. I thought you were just going to go in another direction with that, like it would just be something else. But yeah, that makes sense. No.
But all the action, like it, I mean, they really do a great job of playing up how you know a gunfight, a Western gunfight, like all the mannerisms, the posing, like with 3030 laying on the ground, holding his rifle up. The Dingoes, you know, riding around on their steeds, and I can never. I think they're just called mules. I think, excuse me, which I thought was really cool. Which they did make toys of, or the Skull Walkers that Tex-Hex uses. And here we are. Tex-Hex has already seized Fort Carrium.
Which I think all these little side characters here are kind of interesting too. You have humans, and then it's like some robots there in the background. It's just like Thundercats. It's really cool. World building and just different races of people. Like over here on the left, you got like an alien, you know, and the Dingoes are sitting. Yeah, it's just it's cool.
It's already established. Like it's an all encompassing world here of like when you meet Tex-Ex in the movie, his skin is like he's a human, but he's got purple skin. So already he's, you know, not just a standard like human being. He's of a different race of some kind. And it's just, I like that. And they don't stop and try to explain to you. It's just expanding the world, and you just accept it because that's what it is. That's the inhabitants of this world. Plus, this is just one planet. This is New Texas. You know, this is not, God knows what else is out there. And
I think that this would be, you know, if they struggle so much with wanting to get a Masters movie off the ground, I think Brave Star would make an excellent idea. Like a live action version of Brave Star would be pretty damn cool.
Damn right it would. I mean, it's, and I feel like too, like people today are looking at this stuff like, well, how do we make sense of this? Like, you don't have to make sense. You just look at it. You don't explain.
That's the beauty of that stuff. It's just, we'll get into this tomorrow on Beyond Retro when we talk about Monster Squad. It's like, all right, the Universal monsters are real. They're here. And here's a group of kids that have to stop them. It's like, you think about that and it just sounds really absurd and weird, but they made it. They just let it. That's the thing. And that's the beauty of these shows. Just,
well, yeah,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, you really think about it, and that's a crazy, kind of silly idea, but it just works because
everything is it. And the best stuff, I mean, even with superheroes, you know, you have to enjoy fantasy stories of strong heroes, whether male or female, you know, very malicious villains who are strictly out for themselves. They're not levels of gray, they're just evil to be evil. You know, they just love wreaking havoc and taking from others so they don't have to work for it. You know, classic chicken shit heels is a thing. Like Jim Cornette would probably reference to a classic heel, but you don't have to explain everything. Like, you don't explain everything in Star Wars. You don't explain how a lightsaber is built. You just, like, because I, you know, when you're watching those first three films, like, you just accept it. You accept the Force, you accept who Darth Vader is. That Han Solo is a smuggler and that he's got a co-pilot in Chewbacca. Like, I don't need to know where Chewbacca comes from. I just know that he's a badass co-pilot, works with Han Solo.
Brave Star
is the same thing. Less is more. Like, you know, explain how Brave Star became Brave Star. Like, yes, I think that's a fascinating storyline. And do not shy away from the Native American roots, because why? Why? At this point, you're like, shut up. Stick it up your ass. If you're one of those assholes who tries to find something to say, that's offensive. Why is that offensive, prick? No.
It's
the character.
Yeah. And a lot of it's just people reading too much into it, which
trying to find something because that's the popular thing to do. If there's anything going on in our culture today, all over the world, the cool thing to do is to find, like, looking at Viper. I think Viper is trying to, I don't know, they might try to say she's a stereotype of some other race or some shit like that. Or that Scuzz is like, oh, all people who smoke cigarettes are short and stumpy and, you know, or something like that. Like, no. You know, this is made up bullshit that people go through. I'm like, I'm sick and tired. And I'm sick and tired of people catering to it because three people bitch about it and the rest of them have no problem with it. But we got to give in to the squeaky wheels.
Well, more on that Sunday, Fans of Power.
Yeah. But I just love the visual look of Brave Star too. Like, his outfits, it's just, it fits with the desert look. It's a very futuristic outfit. I mean, all that, JB's outfit, like, they're such great amalgams of the Wild West, but technology as well. Like, they, Filmation, the guys who worked on the show, like Tom Tatarinowicz and Tom Seto and Lou Scheimer, you know, they really did a great job of taking great care of making these two types of storytelling and make them mesh, like, all of this. I mean, you look at Tex-Hex and he looks like a cowboy villain, but he fits in this futuristic world of spaceships and classic Wild West, you know, storytelling.
I think there just needs to be more Western stuff in general, really. Because it was so prevalent back in the 30s, 40s, 50s.
But and I almost feel like today, too, like, it's, unless you're doing like a straight up drama meant for adults, you know, it's like they had to dumb it down to make the tone all over the place because you feel like, well, kids, teenagers, and young adults aren't going to go unless it's funny and talking like people who talk like at your local high school or something like that, as if like they can't enjoy this combined idea of the Wild West and science fiction. Because I kind of felt like that's what Star Wars was. Star Wars was combining, science fiction with kind of, I wanted to say like, well, fantasy almost. Not really, but it's more science fiction. But I feel like there's elements of classic medieval storytelling and things like that too. Although all the archetypes that are in Star Wars come from all over the place. So I don't know. I feel like it can work. It's just getting people who are not trying to come in with their own agenda and change stuff because they look at it as and just dismiss it because it's just a frivolous cartoon of the 80s and try to come in and change everything and completely ignoring, well, why is this prevalent? Why are grown men and women still celebrating and supporting this cartoon that only lasted for one season, had a brief toy line, but they seem to really like it? Well, why do they like it? They don't seem to want to take the care and time to figure out why this was such a good idea. There were a lot of great ideas in the 80s too, and not everyone could be juggernauts like He-Man, Transformers, and G.I. Joe and Turtles. You know, I think there's so many great ones, as I've said before, from Bionic Six and Visionaries, of course, Brave Star. So many great cartoons, and you know, not everyone can be as big as the top three. Doesn't mean they're not good. Of course, that never gets old, watching Tex-Ex just belittle Skulls all the time. I really wish I could do that, because really, Alan Oppenheimer can really sell that really long, drawn-out coffee, just trying to clear out all that smoke. Here, yeah, this is this is Scuzz's like big scene, is this whole sequence with him and Wazella. And I just like the visual look of him. He looks like a kind of a classic Looney Tune character almost.
I'm just she is quite annoying though.
Yeah,
really I think it was just too much with the voice of. It's just a lot.
Yeah, and even though Scuzz is a prairie person himself too, but I like that, just smacking the hell out of him there. But yeah, the trying too hard to be cute and cuddly, it can bite you in the ass, or sometimes it can do it pretty good and it's not obnoxious at all. But this is, yeah, it's a bit too much. But thankfully Scuzz is here and counters it with his, you know, great presence of Aunt. God, I just love his voice so much. For Tex-Ex to have like two pint-sized guys part of his gang, you know, you kind of feel like they're not as threatening, but they're so much fun. Like Cactus Head is a formidable little character. And Scuzz is just likable. He's a likable, fun villain that I don't feel like kills the tone because he's written well. I like him. He's funny. But he's not, yeah, well, Tyler thinks something's funny. Like, yes, if it's done right and you're not smacking me in the face over and over again and reminding me, this is funny, isn't it? Then I don't have a problem with it. And the whole damn thing's not focusing on joke after joke after joke either. And I it's a shank of Samstrom's barely. I just to know that that's written specifically in the script, that he's just continuing to cough and cough. God, I love that. And the smoke just keeps puffing up in the air, and he's still got the cigar in his mouth. Like he looks like Mr. Magoo there. Like the
he's just in pain.
I've got to get a Scuzz figure, man. I really do. I just need Scuzz with his hat, and that's all I need, man. God, he's so cool. And it just makes the whole like Fort Carrium, like that the town itself is just like this. It's like the big city of New Texas. I mean, obviously it's the big focal point of the show, and there are other towns as well and small mining camps and things throughout the show. like Sawtooth and things like that. But there's Sandstorm. He just looks cool. I'm sorry you didn't get to see as much of him in this episode, but he's just such a visually striking looking character.
I like how he's just like, ah, shit, it's Bravestar. Time to bounce.
He knows what's going
to
happen. He's like, ah, the hell with this.
Yeah. I always enjoy it when the sort of the side villains are just like, all right, yep, he's on his own. They know it's over. It's just like, all right, yep, time to, nope.
Yeah, if they had maintained control of the town for a long period of time, that's one thing. But yeah, if Bravestar's already in, dude, man, this plan ain't working.
I think Cactus Head's like, it's just a cool look too. Like, it's just something you wouldn't, like, who had that idea? It's all right, yep, we're going to take a cactus, give him some legs and arms, and it's neat.
Yeah, he's just a fun little character, and I like Vipra. Viper's always portrayed as a very serious female villain, much like Evil Lynn and Shadow Weaver. She looks great. And Thunderstick looks great. I just hate they give him that kind of dumbed-down southern voice. Because look at him, and especially the action figure. The action figure looks like, God, this is such a menacing-looking villain that would be a part of Tex-Mex's gang. But oddly enough, in a lot of cartoons, they got to make some of the villains' henchmen sound like morons. And I just don't like it. I almost feel like you don't need to have idiots.
Well, yeah, I guess in the thinking in that is just Texas and the accent. You know, when people think of the South, you know, the first thing
that
comes
to Wild West, even though they're out west, they're all talking like they're from the South.
Yeah, yeah. So just that accent, people. People always just relate that to Westerns. Oh, yeah, better have that accent.
But if you watch something like The Quick and the Dead, well, there's a few Southern accents in it. But that's the characters like that are like in Tombstone, because those are my favorite Westerns. I don't mind spaghetti Westerns, but when I think of a Western, I always think Quick and the Dead and Tombstone. And taking some of those characters from those films and putting them in Bravestar, like Thunderstick needs to be. You know, or like Tex-Hex, much like is like Gene Hackman in Quick and the Dead, a very like, I mean, he's not a regal villain. Tex-Hex is not by any means, but his cockiness is like absolute secure in the fact that he is the best of the best. He's the best gunslinger. No one's better than him. I think, yeah, if they were to do another Bravestar series, I would want them to take inspiration from, or even like maybe even like Angel Eyes, you know, from Good and the Bad and the Ugly, you know. Lee Van Cleef. But I just think that there'd be so much fun to be had if this show was brought back, and you could do so many, like, you know, not copying, but I feel like there's so many great characters in the show that you could have them interpreted like Ace Hanlon in Quick and the Dead, or Clayton Cantrell in Quick and the Dead, or Johnny Ringo in Curly Bill from Tombstone. Like, you just have so much fun. And, oh, man, someone give me the damn pen.
No, they would totally screw it up now.
Oh, of course they would. They would completely shed all of the idea of having a talking horse who...
Because it's offensive to horses.
Yeah, or like, oh, this is stupid. What we... Let's get a lot of poop jokes when he's walking upright. I got, oh, excuse me, moment, Bravestar. Plop, plop. You know? Oh, we got it with lots of poo jokes for the kids. You know?
That was about the whole bit at the start of our show is for the kids, the poop stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Because what kid doesn't love poop jokes? But the moral here is, what's that?
Yeah. I like the little moral here.
Yeah, and it doesn't. Filmation did a good job of not like talking down to kids when it came to morals, like, and it didn't really feel like it's the focus of the show. Like, they just try to find something that a kid could pull away from this. But I like it. It's just like Bravestar and 3030 just hanging out outside the marshal's office.
I think the only thing that would have made this talking. Better if they were just like sitting at a bar with some beers.
Which, I mean, and Handlebar runs the local tavern. So, I mean, the tavern, you know, they do have a place where they go to throw back a few on the show. But, I mean, it's a lot of fun to be had with the Wild West and science fiction. It really is. I know I keep saying that, but there's so much potential in this property. It needs to be revisited. It deserves to be recognized again, you know, and I don't care what you say. I mean, there were a lot of great ideas in the 80s. Not all of them got to be showcased in such prominent positions because there was so much competition. I think they need to be unearthed and brought back and, you know, do some Netflix shows, preferably ones not like shitty ideas like that also wonderful new She-Ra cartoon. You know, treat it with balls and respect and don't play it for jokes and laughs. Like, damn it, man. You know, play it straight. Like, thank God the Daredevil show, which comes out next Friday, I cannot wait to watch that. It's played straight, and that's how Marvel movies should be. It ain't about, you know, how many jokes can we get in. It's like, we're going to tell a great damn story.
I mean, there is humor in Daredevil, but it's...
Yes, but, I mean, the tone of is consistent.
Yeah, no, I got
it's
you.
Not all over the place with just... It's like a pinball machine in Marvel movies today. You know, thank God we have stuff like the Winter Soldier in Civil War, the first Iron Man, you know, and the first Captain America and things like that, where the tone's consistent. There's, you know, moments here and there. But, God, I love Braystar so much, and I hope for Nathan... This was a good first impression that it was not like, you know, I don't know if I want to come back to Bravestar. It was okay. Granted, though, I can't expect Nathan to love absolutely everything that I may suggest for this show, but it was great that he brought it up and wanted to give it a try.
No, I like it. It's just you know, Fuzz and his lady. Just a little too much.
And I would not argue that. Not at all.
No. You know.
And that makes sense. But you liked Tex-Ex's Gang. You liked Brave Star. Oh, yeah. You liked 30-30. Yeah. And I was like the whole Carrium idea, too. Like, that's golden. Everyone's in New Texas mining for Carrium. It's like the whole gold rush thing. I was like, it's fun because all the toys came with a piece of Carrium.
That's
cool. I thought that was really cool, too. So that way, you know, when you get all the figures, you get all this Carrium that you can build up and chase after and stuff like that. And the playset too is pretty elaborate. Like, they got the marshal's office. I think there's a bank and a jail, all in the place. And the playset folds up too, so it's you got to check out the playset. Of course, yeah. With your money, you can afford it, no problem. Probably mint in box. You know, maybe a few bucks, I can afford to look at it.
You know? Well, how much is it going for?
A few hundred dollars. A few hundred dollars, easy, because there's a lot to the playset. Like, it's. It's a pretty good-sized playset, you know, but it's got a lot of stuff with it as well, stickers and things like that.
I'm going to look at it now.
Give us a live feedback on.
All right, so, yeah, you're not kidding about the price.
It's been like that for years, too. Believe me, I look up Bravestar toys every so often just for fun. Like, maybe I'll get lucky and find something that's relatively affordable, and I just kind of sit and cry and... The Phil Collins music plays in the background. Somehow there's like some really melted bad McDonald's ice cream right next to me. Nathan only gets that reference.
Well, it's kind of funny because you can get it loose here for like $250, but you can get it like boxed brand new for $300. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, of course, if I got it boxed brand new, there's no way in hell I'm opening it. It's just gonna have to stay and look because looking at the box, isn't it stunning? To see all the characters depicted on there. And all the figures came with a small poster. Like, that was another cool thing. You know, every figure came with a poster, like, depicting them in action and stuff like that. Like, God, man. And a comic book as well, if I can remember correctly.
Man.
They
really put a lot more thought into this, especially, like, the art to draw you to it, which, you know, going back to Masters, that's what draws me to it is the art on the play sets and the packaging, and there's just something about it. It's just gone forever now. Like, you go and go down the toy aisle now, those shitty new turtle figures, which still pisses me off, because those things, you have to admit, those things got better paint applications on them than what we got.
Look at it. I was in Walmart last night. And I did not stop to even look at the damn things. I just saw it, just pretend like they're not there.
It's depressing.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, but I just, something. What was so great about all those 80s toy lines is, I mean, from every toy line, from He-Man to G.I. Joe, the Transformers, to the Visionaries, the Supernaturals, Brave Star are some examples. They were really pushing the tough guy aspect for young boys. Like, all the toys look like tough heroes, tough villains. The figures look great, and then you got the box art, card art that really sells you. Look at this epic battle going on with He-Man, Skeletor, and Spider on the Spider box. Or look at the Visionaries. I mean, just look how epic these characters look. Going to the action, and you've got the gorilla, you know, coming out of the hologram on their chest. Or you're looking at the Transformers of Jazz, you know, in motion and things like that. I mean, it's all the G.I. Joe vehicles. Like, it sold you a story and helped you, like, oh, I want to use the toy and reenact what I see on this box here. And it was all about tough guys. Like, that's what, you know, I associate with the 80s. That's what I grew up on. What you grew up on, a lot of us did. And that's what I want to see. I don't want to see heroes dumbed down for kids' sake, because they weren't dumbed down for us, you know, people who don't have enough time or think it's better just to shit on it for a quick gag instead of actually, like, wait, you know. And I'm not looking at this with kid eyes. Like, I'm looking at this stuff because I did not get to see the Brave Star cartoon a lot, most of it, till I was an adult. So I'm not looking at this as like I'm just stuck in the 80s because I don't want to give up my childhood. I'm like, no, there's a lot of fun to be had with these characters and this idea, all with these other cartoons. Nostalgia is a small part of it, and I say that as wholeheartedly, and I take as much truth as I possibly can say. Like, I'm not doing this because I'm trying to remember my childhood and stuff like that. I'm doing it because there's a lot of great mythology with all these shows we do, and I like to think that Nathan and everybody else that listens to this appreciates that and sees it as more than just guys talking about our past. You know, because we're talking about this, we're not really. We talk about it at the beginning and sometimes the end, but as we're talking about the show, we're talking about the characters and the story and how they're portrayed. We're not talking about, yeah, I remember when I got this, and I remember, like, the whole time. Like, it's we want to elaborate that there's a lot to this stuff, and that we're watching as adults who love these kinds of things. So I just had to say that.
Definitely more chances being taken back then. In regards to stuff, just
exactly
creatively, and that's well. See, I want to save some of the rest of this for Sunday when we talk, because I would like to have Joe here to bounce off of, because there's just I mean, obviously the world is different, so everything is just changed kind of dramatically in the last, you know, 17 years. So I
get that, you know, but as expensive as things are, and yet they want customers to keep coming back and buying the same damn thing.
Yeah.
And no one wants to, like, hey, let's revisit this toy line and see if this can, you know, draw some interest. Let's put a new cartoon out there and see if this can draw some interest. You know, I know Hasbro just keeps doing another reincarnation of Transformers over and over and over again, but I hate that they don't try it more with G.I. Joe, or try the Visionaries again, or try another property they may have the rights to, or something like that. It's just a shame that because certainly people in animation today, mainly because the networks too, they're not pushing for action adventure shows anymore. It's all about, you know, keeping things silly, but the jokes are not original. They're not funny. Even though I know a lot of the shows, like what's that show that you really like? Rick and Morty. Stuff like that is very popular with young adults and adults as well too. But I'd like to think, can we have like a demographic of action adventure shows? Like, why does everything have to be comedies in animation nowadays? You know, it's
I
know they're still doing like Transformer stuff right now, but I just wish the days of action adventure animation were not dead.
I don't know, that's sort of a tricky thing. I think it'll come back. It all just goes in cycles. It'll come back eventually. Same thing with like the slasher film that hopefully will come back. I would like for it to. Unfortunately, I feel like that's just going to be like, yeah, let's reboot everything again. And that's my main worry with Halloween coming out. It's like, oh, well, let's revisit this. And
if you didn't like the sequel to the first film, maybe you'll like this sequel to the first film.
Yeah, I'm in a weird space where I'm like, all right, cartoon-wise, like you were saying, some of these properties that, you know, didn't get as many eyes on it back then, I feel like are the ones that should be brought back. Mm-hmm. Stop bringing back the stuff that was super popular. I don't know.
Yeah, if you're to bring back something like Bionic 6, which in this day and age, the way people love to just, you know, piss and moan, you're not pandering enough. Bionic 6, you've got Bungie, who's an Asian character. You've got JD, who's a black character. And you've got two strong women on the show. You've got Jack the father and Eric, kid one, and Fluffy the robot. It's a pretty, you know, well diverse cast of characters, and they're a family. They all live together. They've been given superpowers, and you know, taking on Dr. Scarab's group of henchmen. I'm like, that's a tremendous. I mean, I absolutely love that cartoon, and people who do know of it, they all like it too. But you know, I think that's something that should be revisited. The Visionaries should be revisited. Bravestar should be revisited. Maybe the Supernaturals. I just thought it was cool because of all the holograms. Battle Beast. They were given a little bit of animation and I think a Japanese cartoon. Forgive me, Transformer fans, because I think there's a connection with Transformers and Battle Beast, I think. But if you look at the commercials for Battle Beast, there's animation of the characters. I think that's another fascinating concept that should be revisited and brought back. Bucky O'Hare, the Toxic Crusaders. I mean, there's just a lot of great ideas that they're not the juggernauts of like your Transformers and your Star Wars. And man, you get on the toy aisles for like the last 5-10 years, it's the same toy lines being revisited over again.
Yeah, it's but it also goes back into the whole thing of our kids these days really playing with toys. It's more about about tablets and stuff. I'm still with the idea of, you know what, keep a small section with that stuff, but maybe just broaden the toy aisles and just start putting out that adult collector stuff, because honestly we are the only ones kind of checking in, well, what they got over there.
Yeah, I mean,
which is kind of the beauty of those reissued G1s that Walmart has. It's just it's cool to go in there and see those on the shelf.
It is, and it's nice to. I'm glad I got the bug to be on the search for that stuff, because it's fun to be able to go down the aisles recently and look for something that I genuinely would like to have that, and I hope I can get it.
Yeah,
you know, I want to add that to the collection. I hope they'll continue to do it, and you know, it's nice to see some good looking Transformers next to. Okay, there's the stuff they're pushing for the kids. Here's the stuff they're pushing for the adults. Okay. I'm fine with that. I'm not interested in the kids, but give us the option. You know, like with the turtle stuff, if you want to push this also new idea for turtles, fine. You're going to do it whether we like it or not. But give us the ones that have kept it alive and why it's still relevant for you people. Give us something else to play around with that keeps us coming down the aisle and like, no, well, what do I need to go down there for? It's just that shitty toy line. There's nothing for the adults to draw us down there. And I wish it's, you know, even with Mattel with the WWF stuff, I'm going to call it WWF because I don't like saying WWE. They continuously market toys for the adults and the kids at the same time. You know, I mean, hell, I think most of them were after all the old school wrestlers and in the collector's lines and stuff like that too. Maybe some of the current stuff, but at least they're acknowledging there's a demand for characters that our adult collectors love to have. And I'm like, why can't they do this with all the other properties? Why is it that some of them's just like, no, no, no. Here's the bright up new toy line for the kids with the cotton candy filter all over it there. And if you don't like it, well, I guess the property's shit to begin with, right? You know, we're trying something new here, people. You don't have to get your sand in your vagina about it. As if like we're all a bunch of assholes. You know, but that's another discussion, say, for Fans of Power tomorrow night, 9:00. But I really wish they would. I commend Hasbro for making sure that they do not ignore the adult fans that kept Transformers alive and constantly giving G1 options all the time. So, and I did pick up the Constructicon set.
Oh, you finally got that out, huh?
They're all over here depicted in such absolute glory. It was a bitch putting on all the stickers on all six characters, though. God almighty.
Yeah, I don't understand the thought process of just not having those with the stickers on them already.
Oh, man. I mean, you buy some of the masterpiece stuff, like everything just comes ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of the bummer with that.
Like, son of a bitch! I was just like, and one of the stickers I got stuck on Long Haul's dump truck part, and I'm like, I couldn't find it. It was supposed to go on, I think, Mixmaster. I'm like, where the hell's that sticker? And it had fallen down on the truck bed of Long Haul, and I was like, if I scraped any harder, it's going to tear the stickers. Ah, to hell with it! You know, Mixmaster's got one prominent sticker on there. I'm going to leave it like that. You know, I just was not going to let this, you know, give me a brain aneurysm. So, and they were easier to transform. Thank God, the instructions were somewhat, you know, legible. Of like, oh, you see this? Turn it this way. This what? What do I turn? You know, son of a bitch.
Oh man!
So I'm hoping to find some more fun Transformer stuff like that. Not everything, but more characters that, you know, I'd like to have that, because it's just nice to have some reason to go down the toy aisle, for God's sake, and look and stumped again. Oh my God, they've got a Megatron or something like that. You know, it's it's fun to have that bug, even if it's temporary. You know.
But, yeah, I'm sure once you're done with that, there won't be much reason to go back down there anymore.
No, not for a long time. It's because there's nothing coming down the pipeline. Like the Funko stuff, it's either you pre-order or you go to GameStop or something like that, or maybe Target. But, you know, some of that stuff, I just like the Thundercat stuff, I'm not going searching for that. I want to come directly to my house.
But, yeah, I think mine should be shipping this weekend. Because they come out on.
Yeah, because I checked on Amazon. October 12th was like the supposed like release date on Amazon, and I got mine from Big Bad Toy Store, and I still haven't got notification about it. So I'm thinking, hopefully, the demand was just so high that they had to try and meet all the pre-orders for it or something like that.
Well, I mean, Big Bad's usually kind of a bit behind when it gets, because some of the stuff that I've ordered, it's like estimated arrival and gives you the month, and it's usually towards the end of the month when it gets shipped. So.
When the rent's due. Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah, I always get this text at work from Tyler that's like, hey, man, are you sure that this place doesn't charge you on pre-orders until it's shipped? I'm like, yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, I just have to
make sure. When it is shipped, you will be charged.
Okay, well, I can, because my stuff from Big Bad Toy Store, I was told they do not charge you, which I had the money at the time, but I just, you know, when you pre-order something, sometimes you forget that it's going to be deducted at a certain point, and then all of a sudden you're blind. You didn't plan for that because you didn't think it was going to be shipped at this point or something like that.
So, I don't have to worry about that.
Of course you don't, and we love to be reminded that just how often you don't have to worry about such things. You know,
throw some money at it.
Yeah, pretty much. Nathan's just walking around like Uncle Moneybags. It's like Scrooge McDuck.
Not really, though, because I still buy things. I'm like, I shouldn't have bought that. Like, immediate.
You're just doing it, trying to feel like you're one of the salt of the earth, like me.
No, I still get buyer's remorse from all that stuff. I just can't.
I had no buyer's remorse about the Constructicon set, though. God, man, I was so glad, like, you know, to finish paying off. Like, it's a lot of money, but God,
there's still three of those. I think there's still two or three of those on the shelf.
Yeah, when I was in there last night, they didn't have any left. I'm like, wow. I mean, it's an expensive set, and they don't have that. Like, the whole shelf was filled up last weekend.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, clearly there's a demand for them. And they had Hot Rod out last night, too, which I'm like,
Yeah. No one wants Hot Rod.
Yeah. If it was marked down quite a bit, yeah, I might pick him up. But he's not a priority right now. At least not, not that one, at least. But that's our Brave Star episode, people. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't know. What do you want?
We could always go back and revisit another show that we've done in the past, or we can branch out and do Cops, or we could do another G.I. Joe episode. We could do another Transformers episode. We could do Turtles. We could do X-Men again. We could go back to...
Let's leave it a mystery for the listeners.
Okay. All right. We'll just kind of... Yeah, we'll leave it open-ended here, people. We got lots of options here. Do we try something we haven't done before? Or do we go back to the well and, you know, do another Rambo episode? Do we do another X-Men episode? Do we do... We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, that's... I don't know. I feel like we should go back to something. That's where I'm... Because, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
I say, yeah, we could do G.I. Joe, do Transformers. We do Batman. And if we did Batman, we could always do Bane, or we do a Scarecrow episode since we're in October just for the hell of it. Not that we're doing a Halloween theme or anything like that. We do X-Men. We could do, I mean, yeah, we'll at least say that. We will go back and revisit the series we've at least done once before.
Yeah. So, we'll leave it at that. But
unless someone sends us a message, hey, guys, will you do this episode or something like that? We probably, you know, if we get, yeah, maybe.
probably not. Tyler will shoot it down. We're not doing that shit.
Are you kidding? It's hard. It's hard enough to get people to acknowledge that they like the podcast, let alone, hey, give us hey, could you guys do a review for Dackelman's Rebellion or something like that? I'm like, by God, young man, yes, we will. You know?
Right.
I can dream, can I?
Yeah, sure. Whatever makes you happy, man.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Finish it up. Wrap it up.
Yeah. Thanks to JSP for joining us. Thanks to Who Dat Well, who popped in late, sir. Thanks for joining us, even though you were late. It'll be there in the archive. You can go back and listen to the first 10 minutes of us talking about taking dumps and our poo schedule and whatnot.
Our plug-in for Activia.
Yeah. Sponsored by Activia and Metamucil. God. Anyway. Jesus, man. I think about our little side stuff sometimes. I'm just like, man, I can't believe we just talked about that for 15 minutes. Oh, well.
I guess just say it's a level of comfort, you know, where we're not sitting around trying to be as robotic as possible.
I never wanted any of this to just be like, today we are talking about this. Yeah. Well, see you guys next time. It's like, no.
A lot of podcasts are like that, where they just come in and there is unemotional and lacking in content. Not that we're saying that talking about, you know, epic shits is content, but
I think,
you know,
it's
a level of realism and relatability, you know, because, you know, we're guys just sitting around watching cartoons and, you know, scratching balls and stuff like that. I'm making reference to, like, you know, it's what guys, you know, scratch balls, talk cartoons, stuff like that. You know, it's
Josh,
it's,
is that you?
Yeah. The itch. God. All right, let's
anyway, thanks you guys for
weird.
Yeah, thanks you guys for joining us live. It's always nice having you guys here. If you're new to the channel, hit subscribe, ring the bell so you get notified when we do go live or when new videos get posted. Check out the links below, beyondretropodcast.com. It'll take you to Pop Culture Network, our page on that site. You want to download us, check out Podbean. You want to download us on iTunes, make sure you look up Pop Culture Network. There you'll find Capes and Commentaries, Beyond Retro, and Fans of Power, which is Tyler and Joe's Masters of the Universe podcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. Check out his custom creations and his t-shirts. And I think that'll about do it.
Yep.
Next week will be a mystery. Maybe it'll be a Halloween-themed episode. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be... shit, man. Maybe it'll be like Street Sharks or Cops. We don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we don't know. We got access to both. So,
but until then, see you guys next Saturday, maybe Sunday. We'll see you guys next weekend. Take care.